Emily Dodson is a great woman of God. She was a Southern Baptist, just like me and you. And for 53 years of her life, she had had 13 surgeries. And now then, she's come down with cancer. And a doctor said, if we do surgery one more time, you may live 6 more months, but you're going to die anyway. She said, well, then forget it. I'm just going to die. I'm not going to have cancer. I'm not going to have surgery. So then some little guy, like me, it wasn't me, but some little guy come along and told her, Emily, you don't have to die. God has made you all these wonderful healing verses. And he gave her 4 or 5 of them. She said, I've been raised a Southern Baptist. I didn't know these things were in God's Word. Boy, she began to lock on to them things. And then she went to a pastor's meeting where he was the absolute man of God that preached these things and healing and everything, and said it was nothing uncommon. You come to his meeting at 7 o'clock and you don't get out of there till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And he preached all night. That's even worse than me, isn't it? Wow. But anyway, she heard those words, and then when she had already written down from what she had, she said, Lord, I, Emily Dodson, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. On this day, whatever day it was, she wrote it down, I am healed. I am completely healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so she goes to this meeting with this other man, and she said, while I'm there, one of the girls, at the end of the week, they were there 5 nights, at the end of the week, she said to her friend, reckon I should go down and let him pray for me? She said, well, you know, I don't know. Why don't you ask God? Now, see, that sounds like a good thing to do, doesn't it? Why don't we ask God? So she said, Lord, should I go down and let that pastor pray for me? And the Lord spoke to her and said, Emily, you said when you wrote that little thing down, that by my stripes, you were healed. Did you mean it or not? Well, yes, I meant it. She said, well, he said, then you don't need to go down. Just stand on my word. It's done. But see, in the next year, she was in pain, suffering. God, where are you? She knew she heard him clear. Why does God do what he does like this? Hey, last time I checked, he happened to be the king of the universe, and you don't tell him what to do. You just stand on his word. Is that right? And that's what happened. She stood on his word, and she did not doubt. She didn't waver. In fact, she said, my little Baptist friends would come in and say, Emily, how are you doing? She said, praise God, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And she'd quote them several verses. They would get up and walk out going home, and on the way they'd say, poor Emily, she's lost her mind. She's hallucinating. That sounds just like us Baptists, don't it? Yeah, we don't know any better. We've not been trained. But Emily had heard God's word, and she knew that it meant what it said. So she continued to stand. It took her almost a year. There was times she'd get so hurtful and so painful, she'd get out of the bed and get on the floor and stomp on the floor and say, devil, you might as well leave me now, because in the name of Jesus, I am healed. It's written in God's word. It took almost a year. She broke through that thing, got completely healed. When she spoke in our church, I guess that was 4, 5, or 6 years after that, and I guess she's 75 or 80 years old. Yeah, she's almost 80 years old now, and she's still preaching these wonderful things, still standing on God's word, and she is bold as a lion. If it's written in the word, that's all I need. She gets it done, praise God. There was a good friend of mine, and he was a Church of Christ. He had been a Baptist, and he converted over to the Church of Christ. And he was a teacher, Sunday school teacher, and a youth leader in the Church of Christ. And he was diligent. I mean, he went to church, he studied the Word. He was a great man of God. And he got to be about 55. And I went down to his dad's funeral one day. Dad was about 80-something years old when he died. And I went down there, and I asked where was my friend. And the sister said, well, you haven't heard? I said, no. I said, where is he? This is in Brownwood in the hospital. So after the funeral was over, I drove to Brownwood to see him. There he was, one of my best friends, 55 years old, maybe 56, and he was comatose. He couldn't do nothing. I asked the doc, I said, Doc, what's wrong with him? He said, well, he's got a brain tumor, big ones. And said, we're going to send him to San Antonio next week, and they're going to take the top of his head off and see if they can cut some of those out of him. Now, that didn't sound good to me. Take the top of my head off and cut some of the tumors out of me. So anyway, they sent him down there, and the doctor cut him open, took some big tumors out of his head, and then told everybody, except God intervene in this case, this man's going to die. Now see, we don't understand that God has already intervened in this case. God is running the show. We don't understand that in the church. We really don't. We think the devil is out there doing his thing and God's fighting the devil. No, God's in control of everything. I mean, he's in control of everything. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. All power. I mean, hey, he means what he says. So anyway, they sent him back home to die. So I took a day off, and I went down there on Monday to pray for him. When I got there, I walked into this retirement home, or whatever you want to call it, where they sent him to die. And when I walked in, there was a woman in there. And I said, "Ma'am, who are you?" And she said, "I'm his wife." I said, "Oh," I said, "I knew his first two wives." I said, "Are you number three or number four?" I said, "I only kept up with him till the first two." She said, "No, I'm number three." I said, "Well, he was a good man." She said, "Yes, he was a very good man." I said, "So where did y'all go to church?" And she told me the First Baptist Church over in some place. And I said, "How many times have y'all been?" Oh, she said, "Five or six." I said, "Five or six?" I said, when I asked her, I said, "How long have y'all been married?" She said, 10 years. I said, "You mean to tell me that y'all have only been to church five or six times in the last year?" She said, "Oh, no, Thurman." She said, "I don't believe you have to go to church to be saved, to serve God." So she said, "We've not gone to church but five or six times in the 10 years we've been married." Now, does that sound like God? No, that's not like God. So she thought it was. So anyway, I told her, I said, "Ma'am, you and your husband need to repent immediately and make him a promise you'll go to church." She said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that." You know, said, "We're okay." I said, "Okay." So I went over and started quoting scripture over him. Now, I read over him, quoted scripture over him for hours and hours, 4, 5, or 6 hours. And then I prayed for him on several verses. And when I got through praying, I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he turned around and looked at me and he said, "You're Thurman Scrivener." I said, "Praise God, you're going to be healed. I just know you're going to be healed." But I left there Monday afternoon. Thursday afternoon, they called me and said he passed away. I went to his funeral. After the funeral's over, I said, "God, you're going to tell me what I did, how I messed up on this one. I've seen you heal many people, many, with the same verses that I use today, but this one didn't get healed. So I want to know, did I have a sin in my life? What did I do that doesn't meet your criteria?" I said, "Lord, please tell me in Jesus' name." I said, "Thank you, Lord. Amen." And I drive along a few miles and nothing. I did that for the next 3 hours. 3 hours I drove along coming home. Just before I got home, he said, "Son," I mean, I heard his audible voice. He said, "Son, you didn't do anything wrong." He said, "The problem is his." I said, "What was it?" He said, "The man got out of church. I told him to go to church. I told him not to forsake the gathering of himself together on a regular basis, and he didn't obey me." I said, "But Lord, it was that woman. It was that woman. She's the one that got him out of church." And just calm and cool, the Lord says, "But I didn't put the woman in charge of the home. I didn't put her in charge. I put him in charge. And if he's not going to run the show, then I'm going to hold him accountable." So he said, "I killed him." Just that simple. I killed him. Somebody says, "God would never kill nobody." Let me take you to Deuteronomy 32:39. Let me show you what Deuteronomy 32:39 says. Look at this. Deuteronomy 32:39. We don't know God. That's our problem. "See now that I am he, and there is no God with me." What's the next word? What does he do? I kill. I kill and I make alive. So if you're alive, who made you alive? God. If you're dead, who killed you? God. I said, we don't believe this. "I wound and I heal." In other words, if you get wounded for something you're doing, some kind of sin, if you get wounded, who's wounding you? God. If you get healed, who healed you? God. I mean, it's in the word right there. "Neither is there any that can deliver you out of my hand." Now, Isaiah 45, 6 and 7. Isaiah 45, 6 and 7. "That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Where does evil come from? Isn't that something? You know, if I ask the average person in church, I've asked this many times before I show these verses, how many of you believe God kills? Almost nobody holds up their hand. Nobody. No, no, God would never kill us. Yeah, he will. He said so in his word. You know, I mean, have you never heard about 1 John 5:18? I mean, have we ever read 1 John 5:18? Let's just go back over there right quick and under the new covenant. Let's see what he said. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, what can the devil do to you from that verse? He can't do nothing. That's absolutely right. Nothing. Now then, let's go back to verse 17 and 18, 16 and 17, Charles. Let's go back a couple more and let's see what they say. Verse 16 and 17. If any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Are you glad there's a sin not unto death? Ooh, I'm certainly glad there's a sin not unto death. I'm certainly glad that God is merciful and give me time and space over years and years and years to heal me and forgive me. Aren't you? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he's that mighty, merciful, wonderful, long-suffering God that when I come to him after I've been messing up for 5 or 10 or 20 years and I say, Lord, I repent. He said, well, it's a good thing you were doing it. I was just fixing to get ready to kill you. Isn't that something? You know? I mean, God, you know, he's the boss, isn't he? All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Praise God that there is a sin that's not unto death. Because if every sin was a sin unto death, how many of us would be alive in this room today? That's right, brother, not one single one of us, man or woman. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it would be over. But praise God for a mighty, merciful God that does forgive us, that does heal us, that does make us whole. So you got to remember who's running the show. It's God. A lot of people have a real problem with God being in total control.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Miracles Are Available to Us, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.